The first reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The second reading is Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Stephen. I'm one of the ministers here. Recently, as a church, we were doing a marriage enrichment course, and in one of the sessions, the speaker was talking about some research that shows that when a couple remembers past times badly, like when they rewrite their relationship with a negative, cynical kind of lens, then the research showed that their relationship is in serious danger. Like if they look back on their wedding day or dating or just their life together, and if they choose to remember it all negatively, then their relationship's in all sorts of trouble. And in fact, the researchers said they reckon that they can predict the likelihood of that couple getting divorced with 94% accuracy based on how they remember the past. But I suspect that it's more than just a marriage relationship that's in trouble if you only remember the bad times. Don't you reckon? I reckon it's got to be true of just about any relationship. Like when I reflect back on my childhood, I remember it as a mixture of really good times and also some bad times as well. And I remember my parents sometimes doing a good job, but I also remember them sometimes doing a bad job. But if I chose to only remember the bad times, then I'm sure that would taint my current relationship with my dad. In fact, a few years ago, my dad, he seemed to go through this phase where he cast himself in a negative light as a father when he remembered the past. And he assumed that I did the same. He assumed that I always remembered him as a bad father, which I didn't. But he just didn't seem to believe me. And back then I'd heard about people writing these things called thankfulness letters. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. But it's basically a letter where you just put down absolutely everything that you can remember that you're thankful for about the person. And so I did that for Dad. And what I found was that once I started writing this letter, writing down what I was thankful for about Dad, I just couldn't stop. The letter just became page after page of what I was thankful for Dad. But the thing is, so often in life, we need to prompt ourselves to be thankful. We need to help ourselves to remember to be thankful. So often in life, we have a way of forgetting what shouldn't be forgotten. And in a way, this psalm that was just read for us that we're looking at today, it's kind of like a thankfulness letter. It's like it's written by someone to remind themselves of what should never be forgotten. You see this right from the very beginning of the psalm. Look at verse 1 again. The author writes, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The author is saying to himself, don't ever forget God's benefits to you. Don't ever forget just how good God has been to you. For most of us, thankfulness doesn't really tend to come naturally. At least, thankfulness doesn't tend to last anyway. We easily forget what's good in our lives. And this is especially true when it comes to God. You know, look at some of the ways God benefits us. In verse 3, the writer of the psalm says that God is a God who forgives all your sins. That's one benefit. And heals all your diseases. That's another. Who redeems your life from the pit. That's a third. And crowns you with love and compassion. That's a fourth. Who satisfies your desires with good things. That's number five. And that's quite a range of benefits. The truth is, whoever you are, every good thing in your life is a gift from God. And this is true whether you're religious or not. It doesn't change it. Think of anything in your life right now that's good. That's come from God. But if you're anything like me, then you're inclined to forget this. Do you know when I value my good health that I generally have? Well, it tends to be when I feel like it's threatened. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was having an endoscopy where, you know, they put a camera down your stomach. Do you want to see some pictures? No? Well, close your eyes then, because here we go. Isn't that disgusting? I don't know what I'm looking at there, but it looks serious, whatever it is. Anyway, because I was having this procedure, I had to face up to the reality of what they might actually find with the procedure. Like there was a real possibility that they could find cancer or something like that. And so when I wake up in the theatre at the Lyle McEwen, and when the doctor says to me, "Good news, we haven't found cancer or anything like that," do you know what I felt? I felt waves of thankfulness. I felt thankful for the doctor, thankful for the nurses, thankful for the healthcare in our country, and most of all, thankful to God that I was okay. And in that moment, I felt like I would never take my health for granted ever again. But the truth is, the days go by. And what happens? Thankfulness fades. Until once again, I find myself taking my life and my health for granted. Are you like that too? I mean, did you wake up this morning? Do you wake up every morning just absolutely thanking God for everything good in your life that He's given you? Or like me, do you tend to take it for granted? And it's not just with my health that I find myself doing this. I find myself doing it with my family too. Once, when my kids were quite little and we were crossing a busy road, the pedestrian light went green, but only for half of the road. But one of my kids went straight out into the oncoming traffic, and I just managed to pull him back in time. And as I was holding him, I was just hit with waves of thankfulness for him. But again, with kids, it doesn't take long before waves of thankfulness is replaced by waves of irritation. Now, it's not for no reason that the writer of this psalm is prompting himself to remember God's benefits. It's because it's very easy to forget to be thankful. And I don't know about you, but I find a lack of thankfulness hard to handle. Not in myself, I'm quite good at handling a lack of thankfulness in myself. I find it really hard to handle in other people. When I come across other people who just seem to take things for granted, I find it very hard to put up with them. But did you notice what God is like towards us as this psalm was being read just before? When it comes to God, we all show a lack of thankfulness to different degrees. And yet, God doesn't just put up with us. Look at what God is like with us despite our thanklessness. Look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Despite our forgetfulness and our lack of gratitude, still God treats us far better than we deserve. In fact, God chooses not to give us what we actually deserve. Look at verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Even though we're not always great towards God, His love remains great toward us. Like in verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. I find that when I mess things up, I tend to think that it's understandable and not that big a deal. But when someone else messes up, it's a different story. And I reckon we all do this all the time. Like, we tend to hold each other to a different standard than what we hold ourselves to. And I reckon you see this on a micro level when it comes to driving, for example. When someone else does something wrong against me when they're driving, I assume that they're doing it deliberately and that they're obviously the most incompetent and arrogant driver ever. But then, maybe even just a few minutes later, when I find myself doing the same thing to someone else, it's very different. When I do it, it's quite reasonable and understandable, and I didn't really have a choice. And the reason they're beeping their horn at me is not because of me so much, but because of their road rage issues. Now, that's on a micro scale, but that's true just in general. We tend to overlook our own shortcomings while holding the significance of other people's shortcomings very close to them. But God is not at all like that toward us. He doesn't hold on to our shortcomings. Look at what He does with them in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We like to forget just how much we let God down. But God's love is so great that He chooses to forget our sin and He removes it from us completely. Can you see why God really is worth praising? But it's not just because of God's benefits towards us that He's worth praising. It runs even deeper than that. It's because of who He really is within Himself. It's because of His nature, His character. Because even though we tend to forget God, God's not like us. God doesn't forget. God is a Father who won't ever forget you. Look at verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now, I can be a bit of a hard dad at times. Don't worry, nothing too horrible. I can find myself just being a little bit too stubborn at times, and I can have quite high expectations. You know, lucky for my kids, they have my wife, Kathy, in their life, and she has really low expectations. Just kidding. It's more that Kathy just helps me be less stubborn. But actually, even without my wife, it really doesn't take that much to make me crumble. In fact, if one of my kids cries, I'm pretty much gone. At that point, they can pretty much, don't tell them, but they can pretty much get whatever they want from me at that point. And if they're sick or in pain, I find myself wishing that I could just take their place. I find myself wishing I could just shoulder their burden for them. When my kids were little, when they were sick, I would sleep on their floor just so I could be there through the night if they needed me. That's what dads are like, aren't we? Incredibly compassionate. We saw that with Joel and Henry. I've seen it with many of you here, actually, and especially with those of you who've had your kids in hospital. Your hearts have broken for them. And if you could have, you absolutely would have taken their place. Well, we read here that God is like a father with that kind of compassion for us, for you. His heart breaks for you. And we see why. We see what moves him to compassion in verse 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God never forgets us. We forget God, and we often forget our own mortality and weakness, but not God. God remembers us. God never forgets just how frail and fleeting we are, and it moves him. I've visited a few people in hospitals and nursing homes recently, and whenever I'm there, I always find it a sobering experience. In fact, I read this psalm recently on one of those trips, one of those times of visiting someone. And as I read it, it felt to me like verse 15 in particular was echoing around the entire ward. It felt to me like everything went silent as I read, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." Looking around that hospital room, the truth of this was really hard to deny. We really are like flowers. I find seeing my boys becoming men, they're not quite so cute in this picture, but seeing them become men and then seeing myself in the mirror, it really drives this home to me. I'm a flower, but not a kind of fresh cut pretty kind. I'm more of a slightly past it, drooping, fading kind. I realize, you know, as I look in the mirror, hang on a minute, I don't look like my boys anymore. What's going on? Somehow time has flown by, and now, even if I go to the gym like them, I can't look like them anymore. No matter how much I go to the gym, the drooping, the fading, it can't be stopped now. And it's quite sobering. But did you notice in this psalm, here in these verses, it's even more sobering than that. Because not only is death the outcome that awaits us all, it's even more confronting than that. Because not only does the flower wither and then disappear, but also in verse 16, its place remembers it no more. The outcome that awaits us all is being forgotten. I recently tried to figure out who my earliest relative was who came to Australia and when that happened. And I think it was a bloke called Joseph George who moved to Burra, actually, from Cornwall in 1854. But that's all I could tell you about him. Can't really tell you why he made that move from Cornwall. Can't really tell you what kind of dad he was like. I have no idea. No one has any idea. He's forgotten. And the truth is, so too will we be. And often these days, people seem to work really hard to convince themselves that they're okay with dying. You hear people say things like, well, I wouldn't want to live forever anyway. Or you hear things like when people say, well, death is just a natural part of living. But for me, having been there when people die, having lost loved ones, I find that so unconvincing. And it seems back to front to me that while we're trying so hard to forget our mortality, we're trying so hard to forget just how sad that really is, there is God who never forgets our mortality. And neither does he ever forget just how sad it really is. He remembers. He remembers and he feels compassion for us. But one of the greatest things about God is that he does even more than merely remember us. And even more than merely feel compassion for us. God's love is with us who fear him forever. And what I mean by that is we're not just remembered by God in some vague way. Look at verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Now, from everlasting to everlasting is an awfully long time. But that's how long God's love is with us. Somehow the compassion of God leads him to not only remember our mortality, but his compassion leads him to refuse to let us be lost to him. Everything and everyone else will forget us, but God won't ever. And God won't simply hold us as a cherished memory. God makes it possible for us to live with him forever. Because God's love is, it's not only higher than any human father's love, it is more powerful than any human father. Look again at what it achieves in 1 John chapter 4 that we heard read before in verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, that God's compassion, it does what no human father can ever do. He shoulders our burden. He takes up our sin onto himself. We run from our mortality. He runs to it. In Jesus, he takes up our mortality. And in Jesus on the cross, his compassion overcomes it. Our Father, he makes possible the one way that is possible for us to be known and loved by him forever. Don't you reckon that makes him worthy of our praise? Now, I said at the beginning that a relationship which doesn't remember the good is in danger of dying. So let me ask you plainly, are you in danger of forgetting God's benefits to you? The answer is yes, isn't it? Because that's human nature. We are. And it's exactly the reason why the writer of this psalm is prompting himself and his own soul to remember. But maybe this morning you're realizing that you're here as someone who's never really given God the time of day, never fully praised God for all that he is. If that's you, then hear this. These benefits aren't on offer to everyone here, regardless. Look at who they're for in verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Or verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Or verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. God's love and compassion, these benefits are for you if you fear him. So the real question isn't, do you believe in God? It's, do you fear him? Do you recognize God's power and his goodness? Do you recognize that he really is worth your praise with all your inmost being? The benefits of God are for those who are moved by him. If you've never been moved to fear him with all your inmost being, even from what you've seen today, why would you not be moved by this God? Why wouldn't you begin a life of fearing and praising him even today? But also for those of us who already do praise God. It's true, isn't it, even still, that we tend to forget his benefits. And so like David, we too need to keep prompting our souls to remember that God never forgets us, to remember that he doesn't treat us as we deserve, to remember that his compassion has no limits, and to remember that in Jesus, he's done more than remember us. He's made the one way possible for us to be fully known and loved by him forever. Let's be a people who prompt our souls to praise our God. Let's be a people who prompt each other to praise our God. Let's be a people who do this so genuinely and so compellingly that our praise is like a prompt to the world to join us in praising our compassionate Father. Let me pray for us. Father, help our souls to never take you for granted, the kind of God you are, the benefits that we have in you. Lord, your compassion is unfailing, unfathomable. Your forgiveness is huge, enormous. Lord, help us to see that not only every good thing we have is undeserved and comes from you. But Lord, you withhold what we really do deserve. And in Christ, you take away forever what is really deserved by us. Lord, help us to see that you are a Father worthy of our praise. Lord, help us to be moved to praise, to move each other, and Lord, to move those around us who don't know you towards praise as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name.